Tonight is anniversary night. The format of tonight's meeting will be a main speaker who will speak for 25 minutes, followed by our information break and the anniversary celebrants. Our main speaker tonight is Nye.
Hi, my name is Nye, and I'm an alcoholic. Great to be here tonight. My sobriety date is May 27th, 2004. My sponsors were Rajesh, Atlantic Group. This is my home group. And I am working on step 9. 90% of that is financial amends, which are going to be going on for a while. And trying to live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, to be here and to be in a room full of alcoholics, in a room with friends and family of alcoholics, I can't think of a better place for me to be. And I didn't always think that. I used to always say, oh, I didn't grow up in an alcoholic home. But then I've realized over the last several years, that between my sister and myself, it was an alcoholic home. A really alcoholic home. And, you know, I really, there was definitely, when I look back, it's I can see myself, navy blue Izod shorts, navy blue Izod shirt, heading into, getting older, honors classes, and then it's all of a sudden it's flash to, I'm 18 years old, I've answered the door, and there's somebody named Rat holding a shotgun to my face. So something happened, and you know, a lot of that was alcoholism. A lot of that was alcohol, and you know what I would do when it would become, when things would get that way. You know, it wasn't always Rat with a shotgun, but you know, sort of things like that would be happening around me. I would move. Start over, this time it's going to be different. This time, you know, I'm going to clean up. It's going to be different. But it wasn't. You know, and I ended up in Paris, France, which is a wonderful place for an alcoholic. It's just, it's heaven on a stick for an alcoholic. And you know, it says in our literature, we drank because we liked the effect of alcohol. And absolutely, I love the effect. But in France, I learned to love the taste as well. You know, a Montrachet white wine, oh my God, delicious. I just heard a mmm. And, you know, so I my drinking really, really, I got serious about drinking in France. And you know, things it was sort of it was the party. It was pretty, you know, and there was amazing times. I had a blast. People knew, New Yorkers would know, you're going to Paris? You've got to look up Nye. And I think Bob, I don't think he's here tonight, but he told me a few years ago, he ran into someone that he knew from years ago that used to come to Paris, who I knew, and who didn't drink at the time. He was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I didn't know. I just thought it was really odd that this guy didn't drink. But he said to Bob, he was like, oh my God, it was so much fun with Nye in Paris. You would either end up with a French baron or a bunch of drag queens. And you never knew which would happen. And actually, in truth, sometimes it was all of that together. And it was a blast. And, you know, I ended up, it was the party, the party started ending, and I didn't realize it. And I came to in front of my place of business. I was flat out on the sidewalk, and the French equivalent of the EMS were picking me up and, like, putting me into an ambulance. And I thought that they were taking me to a surprise party. And I was like, oh, my God, my friends are so incredible. And these people are like, this guy's like, okay, like, strapping me down. And I really thought I was going to, I thought I was going to a surprise party at the Ritz. And I came, like, then I, like, came to in a padded cell, asked to speak to the person in charge, explained that they had made a terrible mistake, which they let me out. And I did the walk of shame in Paris from the equivalent of Union Square to here with no shoes, which I don't know how my shoes got lost. About a week later, I came to and I was in the same rubber room. And I was like, okay, like something's off here. So I went to speak with a French therapist who I had started seeing at that time, and I, like, kind of got on. I mostly got honest about how much I was drinking. And, so I said, like, you know, I'm drinking a bottle of vodka, a bottle and a half of wine, and not, like, and I told him I probably left out some things. But he looked at me and he goes, well, that's not so much. I drink that much. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm okay. Anyway, that ended, that summer ended with me in an insane asylum outside of Paris, locked up. The director of my company had to come and have me sign a power of attorney to close my business. But I felt safe there. It honestly felt like, oh, like, okay. Now, I still don't think that there's any problem with alcohol, really. But it felt safe. And, you know, it was decided, that was like, this was kind of like, which I, my bottom's my bottom. Like, this should have been my bottom. Like, it was like the big, like, the drama of friends and family saying, you know, what are we going to do with Nye? Like, you know, Nye needs to go to rehab. Well, Nye didn't want to go to rehab. Like, Nye didn't want to stop drinking. So I ended up in Arizona in a rehab, and I was like the angry guy at the Butt Hut, like, another day, another $1,000. I was pissed. Oh, and a friend from Los Angeles had said that he was sending me to rehab, and then at the last minute, his therapist said, Nye will get so much more out of it if Nye pays for it. So I was really pissed that I was spending that money. And, you know, I'm sure I heard some great things there. I was sitting in a class on, like, what the effects of alcohol does to the human body. And the counselor said, oh, you know, who here plans on drinking when they get out of here? And I was like, no one else raised their hand. And I, like, looked around and I was like, come on. And 10 other people were like, me too. So I left rehab with a treatment plan, you know, which was, you know, they recommended highly that I go to a halfway house, I think three-quarter house, then a halfway house, not to go to the city where I was from, get a home group in Alcoholics Anonymous, and get a sponsor. I didn't do any of that and did not stay sober, shocking. But I started going to AA meetings. And, you know, during a little brief moment of sobriety in Paris, I, you know, clean up well, and I got a great job in London, moved to London. Not enough time to go to meetings, didn't stay sober, and then, oddly enough, within about 6 months, was asked to separate from the company. I was fired. I didn't actually realize that until it was only about 2 years ago that I was like, oh, I was fired. Because I'd always said, oh, I negotiated my way out of the company. Like, no, I was fired. And So, you know, there I was in London, and, you know, then what was finally my bottom, like, it wasn't dramatic, like, there was no police, no EMS, friends and family weren't calling anymore, and it was, like, me alone in London, in my apartment, sitting there, and, like, the night before was no different than any other night that year had been. And I was just sitting there, and I was like, I felt like all of a sudden I felt like I was in a void, like nothingness. And I thought, okay, I'll call. Ooh, nobody to call. I'll email. Nobody to email. And friends of mine in London had given me a card of this woman, a therapist, and like maybe 6 months before, and they had said, you know, if you ever want therapy, Nye, this woman is amazing. And so I was sitting there in my apartment in London, and I thought, oh, yeah, there's that woman that those guys recommended. So I called her. She's an extremely busy therapist in London. She must have heard something in my voice, and she said, you know, can you come tomorrow? And I was like, sure. Drank that night, next day, went to see this woman. I thought I had, like, really cleaned myself up. She's told me since then that I had, like, bloodshot eyes and was not cleaned up. And so this little woman, she's Polish, and she's about that big. She looks like Dr. Ruth. And she was, like, she sat in an armchair, and her feet, like, stuck up off the armchair. And she was like, so, tell me about yourself. And so, like, in 5 minutes, I gave her, like, the broad stroke story, and she kind of held up her hand, and she said, I think you're very interesting, and I'd love to work with you, but you're an alcoholic, and the only thing that works is meetings. You have to go to meetings. And I was like, I felt like the gates of hell had clung shut. I was just like, oh, my God. I was like, okay. I was like, great. That was Thursday. Friday, I didn't drink, not by any good grace of myself. I just couldn't manage to get it together to drink. Saturday, I didn't drink. Sunday, I still had not had a drink, but I was, like, stark, raving, sober, and I was pacing around my apartment, and I remembered that there was an AA meeting just around the corner. So I was like, okay, I'll go to the meeting. So I show up at this meeting, and it's a beginner's meeting in London that it's sort of tricky. They find out the 90 days and under before the meeting starts. So when the meeting starts, like, the speaker speaks, and then they go, Nye, would you like to share? And I was like, my name is Nye. I have 4 days back. I don't know from where. And, like everybody's like, ah, you know, it's like, I was sort of insulted. And it was after that meeting, like, some of you know my sponsor, Rajesh. Now, Rajesh is very, very, very excited about Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, this was 11 years ago. So think of Rajesh with the youth of 11 years ago, not having had a family or kids to drag him down. Just kidding. Just kidding. And I mean, he was in that, like, you know how we are, like, 2 years when we, like, start getting this thing, like, we have 2 years, and, like, we're gonna just get people sober. And, like, Rajesh came running up to me after the meeting, and he was like, hi, my name is Rajesh. I'll be your temporary sponsor. And I was just like, oh my God. And he had this, like, bright, shiny face and the teeth and the, oh, God. I mean, I was like, oh, okay. And then we were, like, walking after the meeting, and he was like, do you pray? And I was like, no. And I was like, well, and he's like, have you ever prayed? And I was like, well, maybe, like, lay me down to sleep. I don't know. He's like, I don't know. And he's like, okay, what I want you to do, when you go home tonight, I want you to hit your knees, and if you can't say God, say whatever, thank you for granting me a clean and sober day today. And the next morning, I want you to hit your knees, and if you can't say God, say, whatever, please grant me a clean and sober day today. And he's like, can you do that? I was like, yeah, I guess. So I went home that night, and so, I mean, this guy, like, he, like, we had spoken a bit about, like, drinking, partying. I had the idea that maybe he drank and partied like I did at one point. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. So, like, that night, I, like, hit my knees, and I'm, like, thinking, like, what does this look like from above? What if somebody comes in the room? I lived alone. And I was like, you know, God, thank you for granting me a clean and sober day today. I was like, okay. And I, like, got into bed. And that, like, totally sums up my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, that was the start of it. Like, I had no idea, like, what this person was asking me. It made absolutely no sense. It was kind of inconvenient. And I did it. And, like, I fell asleep. And I woke up the next morning. And I was sober. You know, so that, like, started my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous. Rajesh and I started working the steps in London. I ended up moving to New York with very specific instructions to get a home group, find a sponsor here, which I didn't do. I, like, arrived in New York and, like, floated around meetings. That lasted about a month or so. And then coincidentally, or not, Rajesh ended up moving to New York as well. And we met in Union Square for a coffee, and we hadn't seen one another. It was about a month and a half. And he was like, so who's your sponsor? And I was like, you are. And he was like, oh man. And he had moved to New York, and he had started working with Mark P. And Mark had said, like, okay, don't sponsor anyone right now. Like, let's get you going along on the steps. And so Rajesh, when I said that he was my sponsor, he was like, oh man. He's like, okay, let me speak with Mark. So he talked to Mark and said, you know, Mark, there's this guy from London, crazy, that still thinks that I'm his sponsor. And Mark was like, okay. He's like, okay, so why don't you sponsor him, and as long as you stay one step ahead of him, it'll be fine. So Rajesh and I started working the steps. I was so, some of you know Mark P. I was so terrified of Mark P. that I was afraid that if I did a bad job, that I was going to become his special project. So I just like anything, like I was like, read, absolutely, highlight, I will. And I was like, I'm the best sponsee ever, can't you see? And, you know, like, I stayed sober and worked the steps with Rajesh. And, you know, through the process of the 12 steps, like, have had a spiritual awakening, which was something that I didn't know I needed. But then having had it, you know, it's like people often say when they're speaking, like, you know, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink in X number of years. I have absolutely, over the last 11 years, found it necessary to take a drink. But I haven't. I mean, it's, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, like, it's absolutely guaranteed, as far as I'm concerned, if I do these things, I will stay sober. But that doesn't mean that, I mean, relatives die, finances go awry, the IRS thinks that you owe them money. Mm-hmm. What? You know, things happen, and it's like real life stuff. But, you know, today, I had a message from my niece that a family member is in ICU. And, you know, like so much, It's not, one can't say that this relative is in the ICU because of drinking, but one can definitely say it's because of alcoholism. You know, it's not what has happened in the last year that this person's in the ICU. It's like what's been going on for 60 years. And, you know, that's what, in the people around me, like, a death from alcoholism is like, it can be real slow and real painful. And just, you know, for like, if for that one moment in time when things come up, you know, if I'm able to say, like, God, I can't do this thing. I can't do it. I need your help. Reaching out to people around me, saying, I need help. I can't handle this thing. Like, I can get through it. And I will not drink. You know, and thank God for, like, the friends and family that we've got as alcoholics. And, you know, I would be dead without those people that I had around me. And, you know, here at the Atlantic Group, like, I came here, my first meeting ever was the Thursday night beginner's meeting, which a lot of you know. Then I came to the Tuesday night meeting, and I thought my head was going to explode. Like, it, and if you're here, and you're 90 days and under, like, God bless you, and congratulations. You know, and this, like, the Atlantic Group has given me, like, so many wonderful opportunities to be of service, to my fellows, the people around me. You know, there's so many, this meeting alone has, what, 500 commitments or something? It's, like, mind-blowing. And my first commitment ever was picking up trash in this church, which I thought was a little beneath me, but I did it. You know, and it's like every commitment is like the best commitment ever now. So, like, from the CD table, from chairing our meetings, it's like, it's wonderful. And, you know, like, I never, ever have to do anything alone. My alcoholism tells me that I do have to do it alone. In fact, my alcoholism wants me to do it alone, because then it's got me, like, alone in a room, scared, and ready to drink. But I never have to do anything alone here. And so I love you. Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia, for having me speak. And happy anniversary to all the celebrants tonight. Thank you.